You know, we've been talking about facing, fighting, and finishing our battles. You know, one of the things is we experience tribulation or trouble, or we have things that we've got to, face on a daily basis. And one of the things we want to do is take mountains and reduce them to molehills. That was one of the things a few weeks ago the Lord spoke to me, and I was talking to the praise and worship team, and you know, this is like a mountain issue, you know, like, oh, an amp is going out or a crossover. We're not even sure exactly which one. We got all this testing to do on it. We got this and that, so whatever. And it's a bunch of stuff, and it just kind of messed with our praise and worship a little bit. But you know what we do? We face it, and we look at it, and we say, okay, we're going to stay calm. We're going to stay collective. Have you ever said that, man, I need to calm down? Or have you ever looked at somebody else and say, take a breath, stay calm, instead of freak out? You know, we don't want to do that. We want to definitely stay calm. And we face it and we say, okay, let me think. Because how many know that, and especially when it's a life issue and something's, you know, really bad, you don't think rationally when you're all, and upset. I remember there were some times where I was in high school, I was like, okay, mom and dad are going to find out. Or they might find out. Wait a minute. No, I just need to tell them. But I need to set it up for them before I tell them the whole thing. Mom, Dad. Now, don't freak out on me. You're probably not going to like this. But I have a solution. Just spit it out, son. But you try to butter it up, butter them up a little bit, or just try to calm them down before you give them the reveal of what was wrong, you know. And that's what, you know, we've had to do with other people in our lives when you see them starting to freak out or this or that. My wife's got to calm me down, you know. I start to freak out. She's got to, like, why are you yelling? I don't know. I just can't believe that happened, you know. And she's got to calm me down. And she does the same thing. She's freaking out, and I've got to calm her down. This is why we need each other. We need to have confidence in God, confidence in ourselves, and confidence in each other. Because we need each other. Amen? Amen? Amen. God didn't call us to have low self-confidence, to have low self-esteem. God called us to be confident, like David was confident when he went in to face Goliath. He was confident when he went in to face his battles. Daniel, I can't even imagine Daniel being thrown into the lion's den. What was going through his mind? But I know this, Daniel prayed 3 times a day and he was faithful to God and God was faithful to him.
Amen.
And so see, he was ready to face that battle. And the scripture didn't say that he went into it with fear. He went in screaming, no, oh God, no, please, please, you know, or I'll change, I'll do. He didn't bend, no. He stood on the word from God. He stood on that he was supposed to pray no matter what anybody else said. So he was going to do what he was supposed to do. And he faced his battle, and he conquered his battle, and he won. So we've got to face our battles, and we can't escape it, you know. So we have to. We can't just say, oh, you know, I'm not going to look at this battle, you know, or I'm not going to look at this. It'll go away. It'll get better. It's not. You know, if I've got a leak in my basement, which I've had before, and there was a pipe, and it was just dripping. It was drip, drip, drip. I could look at that and go, eh, it'll stop after a while, and walk away. Or I can deal with that problem before it gets worse. So what did I do? I picked up the phone. I called, you know, it's covered under warranty and this and that. So I called the warranty company. I said, you need to come on out. And they said, well, is it a steady stream? Well, not yet. Okay, well, I can't classify this as an emergency. Okay, how long? Well, we don't know yet, sir. Let me call the plumbing. So they get the plumbing company online. We'll get to the message, don't worry. And I'll read a scripture for all those wondering. But I'm calling the plumber. And the plumber, he says, well, it's going to be like 3 days. And I'm thinking, well, I hope it just continues just to drip, drip. Well, the drip, then I noticed something. It was a drip, but then I also noticed, wait a minute, now there's this little tiny, it's real fine, squirt of water, and it was just squirting at an angle, you know, smacking the beam underneath, you know, and then it was running down. I was like, wait a minute, we got to adjust this bucket right here. And the bucket's filling up. I said, well, babe, let's just hope. And so, and it stayed like that with this steady stream, and the drip got a little quicker, and the bucket was going a little bit more. I think, man, the plumber, I hope he comes. And he comes soon. And thank the Lord, the plumber came before it totally burst. Because I had no idea. Because I shut the water off, the water main, and that wouldn't shut off that pipe. It had to be shut off down at the thing. So if it busted, it was just going to go everywhere. I didn't know how to turn it off down under the ground. I had no idea. I had him show me. Now I know. Because if that happens again, I want to be prepared. See, if that was going to happen again on that pipe or that section, I know I got to turn it off out there by the sidewalk. And that's where it was. There's a hole down there, and there's, if you've never seen, there's a thing down there, and you got to get a wrench on there and turn that thing off. And that shuts off your water going to your house. And I had to be prepared, because if that's going to happen again, I'm running out there, undoing that, going down there and doing it. And the thing is God wants us to prepare for our battles. That way, we won't be scared to face it. We won't be in fear to face it, because we're prepared. And we know that God is on our side, because we fight because God is on our side. So we face our battle because we can't escape it. We fight it because God is on our side. And we know, and we have the word of God, and we're prepared. That's why we fight. And we finish the battle. We endure and finish the battle so that it's completed. And just imagine, you know, this plumber who came, and he was really good. He cut off the section of pipe, and he put it all together. And he put this glue in there, you know, and it has to sit for so long before water goes through it so that it can really set and harden. And so to finish the job, he said, you got to leave the water off for this many hours. Okay, I got to do that. If not, he said, I can't guarantee this is going to hold. So he left, but the job wasn't finished. We had to wait to turn the water back on. We had to wait to do our showers. And see, sometimes we get in there and we fight, and we don't finish for one reason or another, and we don't finish the job. But God wants us to finish and to win. Amen? And so this morning, I thought I might get to finish, but we're still not going to get to finish yet. We're still talking about fighting. I want to give you as much as possible to be able to face and fight your battles no matter what. Amen? So we fight because trouble comes our way, and we also fight inner struggles, and we talked about that last week. And I want to start by looking at Paul and his inner struggles this morning, and then I want to share three things every believer has to know to face, fight, and finish battles. Before we do that, let's pray one more time. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for what you're going to show and reveal to us here today. We thank you, Father God, that we can face, fight, and finish our battles because you are with us. We can have confidence in you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, Paul was writing to Timothy, and he said this, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. Now, how many's heard that verse before? And you've heard that said. You know, we've all been in, you know, church. Most of us, are, we've been in church for some time, and we hear these different verses, and we hear what's being said. And Paul called the fight good. And you know, sometimes when we're going through a fight, we don't feel like, oh, this is good. But see, he called it the good fight of faith. Why did he do that? He called it a good fight because we can win. That's what he called it good for. That, now look, that's just TJ's, you know, thinking here, but he also called it good for another reason. He called it good because your faith is worth fighting for. Amen. See, his faith, he said, fight the good fight of faith. To keep your faith strong, it's worth fighting. To keep your faith, your belief in who you are and who you serve, that's a good fight to have. See, my last name is Hall, And I will fight for that if someone tries to take away my name. If someone tries to take away my good name, I have to fight because that is my name. I am proud of my name. And I'm going to make sure that no one takes that from me. You can't take it from me. It's not just on my driver's license. It's not just on my Social Security card. It's not just on my birth certificate. That's stamped on my heart that I'm a Hall. That's it. Now, you know, maybe you don't feel that way about your name. That's the way I feel about my name. I am proud of that name because I am my Father's son and I am proud of my Father. Now, maybe this morning, you know, you're here and you say, well, I can't say I'm proud of my Father. You have a heavenly Father that you can be proud of, and you can take his name and you can fight for that name. Amen? You fight that good fight of faith. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Instead of saying, you know, Lord, why am I in this? You know, maybe we should say, Lord, how can I overcome this? We get caught sometimes and something comes up and you go, why is this happening? You know, and we do that. I know I do that. I'm like, why? Why does it always seem like it has to go wrong? Murphy's Law and all that. Well, you know what? Murphy's Law doesn't apply to me. I don't even know who Murphy is. I don't even care. Who is somebody after church tell me who Murphy is? I don't know. It's probably some popular guy. I know y'all are laughing. I don't remember the school stuff. That's too long ago. Anyways, why? How can I overcome this? We're born of God, so we're supposed to overcome tribulations with our faith. Paul fought that good fight of faith. He fought all kinds of battles, including inner struggles. He faced the inner struggle of wanting to quit. How many times have you wanted to give up? I know it's for me, it's been tons where I want to give up. It's been many times for me in the past. I thank God, though, that I didn't. That I'm here today, that I'm standing behind this pulpit, that I'm talking to you, that I did not quit because God has blessed me. He has blessed me with many blessings. He has provided for me. He has given me everything that I need to do what I'm supposed to do in this life. Amen. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, and he was talking to them, and I think he was talking about some inner struggles of his. He was talking about some of the things that he's faced, and I want to look at that now, beginning in verse 7. It says, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Now, this thorn in the flesh thing, this has been talked about for years, actually centuries, probably, and people trying to figure out what is this thorn in the flesh. Well, we don't know for sure 100%. Theologians are split all over the place. I believe it may have been some sort of physical ailment. I mean, most tend to kind of lean that direction. But here's the thing: something was bothering him, and it was bothering him real bad. Because then he says this in verse 8 concerning this thing: I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. So he came, it was bad enough to where he pleaded with the Lord 3 times. And he said to me, this is what God's reply was to him in verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities than the power of, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And guys, just leave verse 10 sitting there for a while. So Paul, and this is blows me away, okay? So Paul, he's coming to the Lord, and he's saying, this is killing me, Lord. And he's pleading with the Lord 3 times, take this from me, like, I'm done. I give up on this, I can hear it. I can hear it like I'm getting tired of this. That's what Paul's saying. He's pleading with God. And then, God says to him, but my grace is sufficient for you, my strength. In other words, I'm going to pull you through this thing, even though you've got it anyways. I'm going to meet all your needs, and I'm going to do things for you. And then in verse 10, Paul says all these categories of struggles. All these categories of struggles. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches. That means people are like, they're speaking against him because of who he is. in power of in persecutions and distresses. He's being persecuted. He's distressed. Paul was thrown in prison. He was stoned. He was yelled at. He was cursed at. He was all these things. And he's saying, I take glory in that. That's being able to fight and win despite what it looks like, despite what's going on. This is amazing. I believe that God wanted Paul to reach another level of faith, which is why he said to them, my grace will be sufficient for you. But if he had quit, if he had just give up and said, you know what, this is just too bad. I'm not going to go on. I'm not going to do ministry. I'm not going to do this anymore. Maybe you felt like that, where I'm going to quit. I'm not going to do what God's called me to do. I'm not going to take care of my family anymore. We know, we've heard the different ones and different people who walked out on their family and who didn't want to do this or that. They just kind of gave up. They went into a shell or this. This or that, or that maybe, you know, you've given up on your kids or marriage or whatever it is, but God says, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, hang in there, have faith in me, fight the good fight of faith, because my grace is sufficient. Grace being that ability to do, my power, my strength is there for you. Let's look at Paul again in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this is when I believe after Paul had reached his full faith potential. This was written later after Corinthians. And he says this, for I am already, and he's kind of getting down to the end of his life, to the end. And he's saying, for I am ready to be poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. This is chapter 4, verse 6. And then verse 7, it says, I have fought the good fight of faith. So now, you know, see, he was telling Timothy earlier in the first Timothy, you know, fight the good fight of faith. Now he's saying here, I have fought the good fight of faith. I've done this. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Be diligent to come to me quickly. Now, I want you to keep in mind that Paul is basically, he's in a, we don't know exactly, but they're believing it's some type of house arrest kind of thing, or prison, you know. That's why Paul talked about his chains, his bonds. In other words, he wasn't able to go out freely. He was, you know, in captivity. So he says, come to me quickly. And then he's saying this, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Only, in other words, everybody's abandoned me. I'm going through this thing, this trouble. I'm here. Everybody's kind of left. And you can kind of hear this, what Paul's saying and what he's going through. How many's ever felt alone, like everybody's left you? Maybe you're all by yourself. You're on an island, on this thing. No, have you ever said the words, nobody understands? Come on. You're on an island. Nobody gets it. I've said that. I've thought that. I've been by myself before, or thinking, you know, I'm by myself. And here's Paul. He actually is by himself. And he's saying, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you. That's just an amazing statement right there, but we'll leave it for now. For he is useful to me for ministry. And in verse 12, and Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. So here's this, this is the other amazing part. Here's Paul, and he's in house arrest, or, you know, and it's probably not a good house arrest. We think of house arrest now, that's gravy. You know, for them, it's probably a little worse. Maybe not as bad as rats in prison, but man, it's bad. And so he's here, and he's saying, you know, bring this cloak. Maybe he doesn't have a coat, so he needs one. I don't know. Or it's getting cold, and hey, bring that cloak. But he also says the books, especially the parchments. Now, see, a lot of us, when we get into a bad situation, we're not thinking about doing something for the Lord during that time. What we're thinking about is, woe is me. I am guilty. Both hands up. Because when we're going through that, it's like, woe is me. Paul hey, bring me the books, the parchments. I got stuff to do. I've got something to do because God has got something for me still. In verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. That's something as well. To where he said, hey, this guy here, he's bad news. Be careful. How many's ever been told that by somebody before? But you know, when leadership or your pastor comes to you and says, hey, this guy over here, you know, watch that. I'll give you one right now, just so you know. Everybody just perk their ears up all of a sudden. I'm going to give you a person, right? No, I'm not going to name a name. But what I'm going to do is when you see those preachers on TV who are sitting there, the Lord just spoke to me in 72. That's the number. Thank you, Lord. 72 is supposed to sow this thing. That is garbage, and it's not God. All right. There you go. I gave you one. Well, that's probably a bunch. Anyways, I don't know their names, but I've heard it. And that ain't God. All right. At my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. See, he's having to defend himself where he's at. Nobody stood with him. How many, again, you've ever felt alone? Nobody's on your side. Nobody's there. But the Lord, this is what's so good. Verse 17. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord, and the mouth of the lion representing, I believe, Satan there. And the Lord, verse 18, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So Paul, he's been through a lot of things. He's under house arrest, and he's listing these things in 2 Corinthians that he's been through, you know, all this stuff. You know, all the stuff he listed in 2 Corinthians. And then here in 2 Timothy, we see that he is like just, oh, man, all this, everybody's left him, all this. But despite all that, God stood with him and strengthened him. He was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, the enemy. He was delivered from every evil work. God gave him grace for all of these battles. And when we go through battles, we grow. And church, we're going to have them. And you know this, and we know this. We can't avoid them, so we've got to fight them. Listen to Paul's faith in verse 18 one more time. And the Lord will deliver me. I like the Lord will deliver me despite all. And he is in a really, really bad spot. He's in a bad way, but he's saying the Lord will deliver me. Paul was confident because God was on his side. You can be confident because God is on your side. David was confident before he went to go fight Goliath. In 1 Samuel 17:37, we read, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, those are those battles that prepared him, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Notice the faith statement again. He will deliver me. I love it. I love it. The Lord, and notice again here at the last word there. Notice the Lord be with you. Be with you. What is the significance of with you? See, there's three things that I want to share with you this morning before I let you go that we've got to know. We've got to know. If you're gonna fight, you've got to have these down. Number one, that God is for you. Number one, God is for you. Number two, God is in you. If you're saved, if you confess the Lord, he is in you. You've confessed him as Lord and Savior. And number three, God is with you. God is with you. And that's the third dimension that we're going to focus on. We're going to talk about it in a minute, but go back to number one. God for us in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So when the Bible is talking about God being for you, it's talking about what God did on your behalf through Christ. It's talking about how God is so for you that he died and he sent his son to die for you so that you could be redeemed, so you could be justified, so you could say, I'm innocent and I am righteous because of what Jesus did for me. God is so for you that he sent his only son for you. So that's what it means for God being for you. Now, chapter 8 of Romans continues by saying, if God justifies you, who can condemn you? You know, when the devil comes and tells you you're a loser or you're not going to make it, you can tell him he's a liar because you know that God is for you and you're a winner. Amen? And that's the truth. Because God is for you. Number two, God in us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Somebody say in you. Whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Not only is he for us, but he did something in me. He changed me. He transformed me. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I am a new creature, which means new materials. When he said he's new, it was made from new materials. I've been recreated, so to speak, in the image of God. Something has taken place. God is for me. He is in me. I'm a new person. Amen? That's exciting. Now look, a lot of us, we know this. This is something we know. But we don't always think of what we know when we're facing a battle. See, remember when I said when we're freaking out, we don't think rationally, we don't think. It happens. You can be an extremely intelligent person. You can be have all this knowledge and all of that. Just watch a person who's stressed out, freaking out. They don't know how to answer. Let me give you an example. I'm watching Family Feud last night. Oh, yeah. Just for a few minutes. Now, sometimes I got to change that show because they get a little too whatevers. But anyways. Fast money. You got 20 seconds to do these five questions. You know, the survey says, right? And so here's this question. And this lady, I felt so bad for her because she got up there and she looked all calm at first, but they asked her the question and she started going, and just blurted out an answer. And then she did, blurted out another one. And this is how she was doing them. I'm like, oh no. And one of them, I was like, oh, that's not going to be up there, or it's going to be really low. It's going to be like a 2. I feel so bad for her, you know. And I'm like, man, but I totally get it. I understand, because when you're under pressure, you don't think right. You've got to stay calm to think rational, to get, you know, the thought. And then the question came. Name a creature that has no legs. And she goes, bug. And I went, oh, no, God, Lord, just help her, help her. Lord, help her. She's already got these other bad answers, a couple, you know, her score's going to be really low. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, you know, because she just blurts out bug. And I'm thinking, snake, man, snake, you know, snake. Oh, that's such a shame. Okay, the next guy, he's going to get it. He gets up there totally different from her. He is totally calm in every answer. It's just boom, boom, boom. He gets down, name a creature with no legs, snake. I mean, it was immediate. Didn't even, because he was calm. He was not under pressure. He wasn't under stress. And he was able to answer that number one, boom. Now, you want to know something funny, something that doesn't fit with the example? But when they got up there to go through the survey and it got down to that one and with her, for the creatures of the bug. These are, you know, it's 100 survey. When you're doing a survey, you can sit there, you can take all the time you want. And I'm thinking there's no way it's any higher than 2. Guess what number came up? 19. She got a 19 people sat there and thought about it and went, bug. I was beside myself on the couch. I thought she did horrible. And she got 19. That means 19 people out of 100 sat there and went, I wonder what creature has no legs? And they came up with bug. I can't even think of a bug with no legs. They all got legs. I don't get it. Oh, church only in America. All right. So, you've got to stay calm, not under stress. That way you'll be able to face the enemy and you'll be able to think in the scriptures and allow the Lord to guide you and allow those scriptures to come to your mind. You won't even hesitate and the scripture starts coming out in the name of Jesus, you know, and you just start being able to say the word. Like, no, that's not what God says about me. He says I'm the righteousness of God in him. That I am walking. I have the victory that the enemy's under my feet. I don't have to worry about that. That God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Therefore, I don't have to worry. The third one, and this is what's really good, is God with us. This is that third dimension. See, remember in week two, we talked about the third dimension of faith. You know, first the blade, which is the lion. You know, if you think about it, you can correlate a lot of these things. Then the head, the bear, you know, then the full grain in the head. That example we gave, you know, being the giant. You've got to face your giant, not with bear faith or lion faith. You've got to have a giant faith to face the giant. Amen. But you can't do it if you're freaking out. You got to know who you are. See, David knew who he was, and he went out there and slung that sling because he was prepared. God had prepared him with the battles and prepared him with that sling, and he knew what he was doing. Amen. This third dimension with us is a different thing. God with you means that God is with you in manifestation, that his power is in operation. God's power is manifest. In other words, God's power is manifested in my life. This is good. Look at what Acts says about Jesus in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God was with him. See, when God is with you, he's with you in manifestation. In other words, his power is manifested in your life. How many's ever seen a miracle in your life? God manifested his power in your life on your behalf. God was with you when that miracle took place. That's what God being with you means. Look at what God said to Moses at the burning bush. Here's Moses. He comes to a burning bush and God's talking to him saying, Moses. Now that freaked me out, but you know, here comes Moses and he's talking to God. And Moses says to God, and this is Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. Moses says to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. So Moses is saying, how do I know that I can do the things that you're telling me to go do and deliver the people out of Egypt? And God says, I will certainly be with you. Amen. And then he showed him, I mean, you know, he's like, hey, throw this rod down. It turns into a snake. All these signs and what, you know, and he's talking to him. And Moses is still debating with God. I mean, it's something. It's something. You can go back and read that later, Exodus 3 and 4, and look at it. But look at what Stephen says about Joseph in the book of Acts. Now, this is Stephen, you know, talking to a crowd, and he said this about Joseph in the Old Testament and the patriarchs, talking about the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and see, Joseph was one of the patriarchs considered, okay? And the patriarchs became envious, sold Joseph in Egypt, and that's his brothers. The patriarchs were his brothers, the 12 tribes of Israel, okay? Sold Joseph into slavery. So, but God was what? With him. Now, this verse 10, this is awesome. And delivered him out of all his troubles and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Church, the key to victory is the manifest power of God being delivered out of all your troubles. That means if God is delivering you out of all your troubles, God is with you. God delivered Joseph by giving him words of wisdom and revelation for others. I mean, Joseph would be sitting there and he's having a dream. He would have the words to say. He spoke. It was amazing. Now, did he go through some stuff? Oh, yes, he did. He went through some stuff in years and even went to prison. And he sat there for years. But God delivered him because Joseph stayed faithful. Church, we need to grow in our faith. We need to get in the Word and into His presence so our faith will grow to the point that we know that God is with us. Amen. I want you to look in Luke chapter 10, verse 17. We'll come back to this in Acts 7. Then the 70 returned with joy. Talking about the disciples, came back to Jesus. The 70 returned to joy because Jesus had sent out this 70, and He said, you know, sent them out to go and preach and do signs and wonders, and they came back and they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in Your name. And He said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Church, the devils are supposed to be in obedience to you. They're supposed to do what you say, not the other way around. So when the enemy comes speaking, you tell him where to stick it. Are you here this morning? Can we be real? Because that's your one time that you're allowed to tell somebody to stick it. When you're speaking to the devil or his demons or whatever, you're speaking to the enemy coming at you. Now, understand what Jesus was saying here. When He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, don't get rejoicing in the signs and the wonders, because see, they came rejoicing. Even the demons obey us, Jesus. He said, no, don't get all excited about that. Get excited about who you are. Did you see it? Now, look here. Nevertheless, rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In other words, I am a child of God. I am the righteousness of Jesus. Rejoice in that. Because it's that that gives you the power to conquer the enemy. And understand this. You say, well, I've got all this authority over the devil, but my goodness, the devil seems to be messing all kinds of things up and telling me this and messing with my family, and I can see it and I can feel it, and I got all this. Why is that? Because see, here's the thing. He has no jurisdiction in your life, but that doesn't stop Him. You know, the guy that goes and robs the bank, he doesn't go, well, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't rob this bank. Because, you know, the law says, and he starts quoting the amendment. No. They don't care. They don't care. Somebody's going to go rob the bank. He doesn't care about the law. He doesn't care about jurisdiction. He doesn't care about any of that. All he cares about is getting that money from that bank. All they care about, someone who's committing a crime, they just care about themselves, what they want. The enemy, he doesn't care about the lines, the jurisdiction. You can draw a line and stand. He's always going to try to cross it. What you got to do is kick him back over there on the other side. You stay in your place, which is under my feet. See? Because, see, that's his place, and he tries to get out from under that and tries to come up here next to you and start whispering in your ear. You got to kick him back down. But he's never going to stop. He's going to keep attacking you. So you've got to resist him. Now, here's what's really good. And this I've experienced in my life, and my dad's talked about this before over the years. When you're dealing with something and the enemy's coming at you, you start resisting, you start winning, and you start in that particular area, and you start winning, he backs off. And he waits a good while before he comes back in that area. Because he knows... You're winning right now in that. When he comes at you, though, is when you're down. Is when you're down. He will come at you. Man, when you're feeling low, when you're feeling this thing, it's really bad. The enemy, that's when he comes. You got to be ready for that and put him under your feet. Don't let him, because you have the authority. You have the power, because God is with you. Everybody hear me. If you believe that God is with you, the enemy can't mess with you. Amen? Back to Acts 7 one more time. But God was with him and delivered him out of all his troubles, talking about Joseph, and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. This is what I love about this verse 10. He delivered him from all his troubles because God was with him, and gave him favor and wisdom because God was with him, and made him governor. In other words, promoted him because God was with him. When God's power is in operation in your life, you can expect these four things: deliverance from your trouble, the favor of God, the wisdom of God, and promotion. That's good. That's real good. Because if you haven't been promoted, start to live and operate in the third dimension of faith, which is God is with you. Get these scriptures, write them down, listen to this message again, do what you got to do, get into the word to the point where you know that you know that you know. Just as Jesus said to his disciples, I gave you authority over all of the enemy. Get that down into your spirit and say, God is with me. He will deliver me out of this thing that I'm facing. He is going to promote me. He's going to give me wisdom and favor with men. That's what Jesus did. He had favor with men. I can have favor with men as well. He gave Jesus wisdom on how to answer and how to act. He can give me wisdom on how to answer and how to act. Things are going to start going better for me because not only is God for me, he's in me and he's with me in Jesus' name. Amen. That's what I'm looking for in my life. Church, if I'm suffering lack, if I'm suffering lack, or if I am defeated, that means I am not operating in the third dimension of faith with God being with me. That's what that means. Now, once I start putting my faith in God, saying God is with me, taking the authority and begin to speak, it is done right then and there. I may not get the manifestation at that moment, but it is done. It is done. And now I am looking for the manifestation of God in my life for wisdom, favor, and promotion, delivering me out of all of my trouble. In Joshua 1:5, I'm going to leave you with this. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And this is God talking to Joshua. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. God was with Moses. He was with Joshua. He will be with you as well if you believe. If you grow in your faith, no enemy can prevail against you. You will win the battle. Let's all stand. Years ago, there was a guy, a friend of mine. His name was Michael. And this guy loved to play basketball, and I loved to play basketball, and we'd play together, and we'd try to get as many people as possible. And then Michael said, hey, let's go over to the Chin Center and let's play at Chin. I said, man, they're good over there. He said, no, it's okay. Come on, let's go. I got a friend. I met somebody over there. Just come on. They do three-on-threes and they rotate it all the time. I said, all right. So I come over there. I start playing three-on-three with Michael and this guy and these guys. And I'm looking at Michael and I'm saying, man, I don't know. He goes, no, don't worry. We got this. We got him. And I said, I'm looking at this other guy, and he didn't look like anything special. I'm thinking, I know I'm faster than him because I, you know, see his body type and everything. I know I can outrun him. I know I can outjump him. What are you talking about? He said, don't worry, you'll see, we're winning. Michael was 100% confident, and I'm thinking, man, I don't know. These guys are running up and down the court. They're taller than us, this, that, you know. They come down, they scored on us right away. We get the ball, we start going the other direction, you know. And Michael's got the ball, he passes it to his friend, swish, and I mean from deep, I mean we barely crossed half court. This dude was, I don't know. And even though he wasn't jumping a whole lot, people tried to get in his face. He could fade away, fade back. It's like Carmelo Anthony on steroids or something. I don't know. This guy, everything he threw up, I mean, he was like 70%. And I'm like, you're right, we're winning, man. So I started hustling. We started going because I wasn't into it because I thought we're going to get blown away. I did not believe my friend. My friend said, do not worry. We got him on our side. Amen. Don't worry. Church, don't worry. God is on your side. Yes. Believe that. Believe that. that's the key. It was like we showed up on the court. I wasn't sure, but he was. Once I saw him, then I was sure. Church, once you get a miracle moving in your life and God working on behalf, it won't be long. You'll be confessing it. You'll be leaving it. You'll be, the scripture's coming out of your mouth. You're like, oh no, in Jesus, I'm going to start seeing God supernaturally work on my behalf. Amen. How many in here this morning can say, I need a supernatural miracle because of this battle I'm facing? I need to fight and win. I need God on my side right now. I say it, man. Let's pray and believe God that as we go through our week, the battle that we're getting ready to face, we're going to be like Paul. We're going to be like Moses. We're going to be like Joshua. Amen. And we're going to say, and Joseph, and be delivered out of all of our troubles, to have wisdom and favor because God is with us. Amen. Who could use a promotion? Who could use a healing? Who could use somebody in your family being saved? Who could use these things? I know I could. I can. Let's pray and let's believe God this morning. Father, this morning, we thank you for your word. Your word never returns void. Lord, I thank you for building our faith. Lord, build our faith. Lord, so these battles that we face, the things that we go through in life, Father, Lord, they're going to come. We know we've got to face them. But Lord, I thank you that you are on our side, that you are for us, you are in us, and you are with us. You are going to manifest your presence in our lives. Lord, we say this morning we're going to do what we've got to do. We're going to be in your presence in prayer and in worship and in the word. Church, I'm hearing God say right now, you need to get in my presence so that my presence will overtake you in your situation, so that your faith will rise. You got to get before God. Get on your knees before him, not on a Sunday morning, but during the week, on a Monday, a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Be in my presence and watch me move on your behalf. I am your heavenly Father. Spend time with me. That's what I hear the Lord saying right now. Church, you get into his presence. There's something that begins to change you, that begins to change your life. Father, change these here, Lord, under the sound of my voice. Lord, this week, as they get before you in your presence, as they get in your word, I thank you that their faith is built, Lord, to the point where they speak it and they know that they know that they know I'm going to win. I'm going to be delivered out of all my troubles. God, you're going to give me the wisdom and the favor and the promotions that I need. Lord, my family's going to be saved. All of my house is going to be saved. I no longer will lack. I come against lack and poverty in your life right now. I put it under my feet right now in Jesus' name. You speak to your situation like that and you put it under your feet. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise and glory that it's done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. He is good. He is good.